Joining us on the line, longtime friend of the show and longtime senator for the 9th District, Senator Mark Schessler. Good afternoon to you, sir.
Well, good to be back with you and your listeners.
So it's been interesting tides in Olympia over the last week to 10 days. and it seems that the majority party is for the first time in a long time, a bit confused and wondering exactly what they're going to do.
Well, I think we're seeing that on policy and budgets.
So they've been smacked down regarding a wealth tax, which takes away a big piece of revenue for them. If they don't find a way to replace that revenue, that would mean that for the first time in quite some time, there could be less spending at the state level?
I think what we're more likely to see is an Olympia cut in spending. Spend at a slower rate of growth, but not an actual bona fide reduction.
Okay. Now, the big topic of conversation, of course, is the rent control bill that raised an eyebrow when one member of the majority party voted against it. How are things looking in that regard as far as that killer bill?
Well, it was really interesting. There was one amendment by Senator Shoemake, who in real life teaches economics, said that 7% was too risky and ran an amendment to take it to a 10% cap plus CPI, which would make some real savings. She got five of her colleagues to join her, and it passed. Then Senator Elias, who's certainly not known for being a conservative, made the case that if you owned one up to two single family homes, you weren't a corporation, you were exempt, and it passed. So there was a very, very nasty tone amongst some of their members against themselves, and they locked themselves in their caucus room today and really haven't come out.
I guess with Senator Elias proposing that, is that Senator Elias telling us that he owns one or two rental homes and wants to be exempt?
He told a really great story that when his family immigrated here, they moved in with family, and a huge number of immigrants lived in one house for a few years until they both got on their feet and could do something else. And he believes that the independent landlord that has a rental house or two provides a real service to families, and that hitting them with an unrealistic cap just wasn't a good idea. And Marco Elias has never been known for being an extraordinary business vote, but he had his own family experience was favorable to single family rentals.
Certainly sounds like it. Now, how long, you said they've been in there most of the day. There was another piece of that too, as we were talking off the air, that was also pretty significant. They're in there by themselves.
Yes, usually if you have a closed caucus, you don't want the staff there because you want the ability to speak very freely, very privately, and not be quoted. So about 9:30 this morning, they asked the staff to leave. They came out at noon for a floor resolution, and then there was a fire alarm. They went back in a little later, and they should be out any time now. So basically, they've spent the day in caucus with themselves. I don't think it's a happy spot.
You said fire alarm. Interesting.
Well, there's a variety of rumors about, you know, who pulled it, why it was pulled, what happened. first time I got to see the system work in the chambers. It's a very impressive system of flashing lights and sirens. And so I got to experience the system we paid for when we renovated the Capitol 20-odd years ago.
That's kind of interesting because I think about, you know, we flash back to that congressional member who ended up getting pretty heavily penalized for pulling a fire alarm to avoid having, you know, I think, I don't know if it had to do with a boat or something happened, but the gentleman pulled a fire alarm, and so that's what I thought of. You know, was there anybody, and I have to ask this half in jest, when they went into their caucus room, did anybody go up to the door or the wall with a cup up against the wall and their ear against it? Did you hear, or was it quiet? Did you hear any loud voices? Because that's kind of,
you know, we stayed on our side of the chamber, and their staff waited outside all day to see if they might be called upon. But so far, no news, just a lot of caucus time and no staff in there.
We're talking with State Senator Mark Schessler from the 9th District here on The Bottom Line. Senator, there's been a lot of talk around the budget, a lot of talk around some of the things that we're facing. One of the other ones is that property tax cap lift that they would, instead of going from 1% to 3%, they're just going to abandon that idea and want to tie it to population and inflation. For those of our listeners that may not be aware of exactly what that combination is and what kind of an impact it would have, say it passes, say the governor signs it, and you now have a volatile percentage for property tax that could fluctuate each year. Are there any examples, or has anyone on your side of the aisle pulled up any data regarding population and inflation that would show the swings in property tax?
Well, matter of fact, one of our staff attorneys did. We could see increases as high as 9.5%. We could see taxes down around 3 or 4%, but these would all be councilmatic, could be in the state budget, could be in counties, cities, or some of our junior taxing districts. So you have a huge accumulative effect, and yes, it would be volatile.
When they talk about, and this is the one thing that really, I think, strikes many people, they talk about how much they care about those that are low income and those that are on fixed incomes. Yet this is going to absolutely devastate anybody on a fixed income because they can't plan year to year what their property tax is going to be.
Well, you know, every email I get, every phone call to my office are real, originally written, heartfelt phone calls about their own situation and how tough it is. Now, at the same time that taxing the rich has been the theme of the left, we have this property tax. But if you remember, there's also a Discover Pass increase, which is the ability of moderate income people to be able to go to a state park for a day, plus a major increase in hunting and fishing licenses.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, that average family in our region that maybe goes to our state parks for a family outing, maybe they fish on the many waters in our region, and they're fortunate enough to own a home, are going to get nailed. And I just don't think that tax-paying, hardworking family in our region is the billionaires that they're seeking.
You know, Senator, there's been a lot of indications from businesses as well as others that have been subject to the high end of the tax scale, sending warning shots to the legislature that if you keep this up, we're leaving and you're not going to get our tax dollars and we're going to move to somewhere else that's much more business friendly than what you were showing. And the potential is there for Amazon to completely pull out. And I wouldn't be shocked if the governor signs the unemployment for striking workers if Boeing reveals a countdown that they're going to pull out as well. All of these things, what's the end goal here? I mean, you can't sit there and know this isn't causing damage. So how do you justify creating this kind of a crater in Washington State?
I think it's a goal to become California, a year-round legislature, a hostile socialist environment. That's California. I mean, if we look at the projections for the next census, states like California and New York will lose seats in Congress because they're not growing, they're losing, or slower rate of growth in population, while the states that offer economic and personal freedom are going to have more members of Congress and more growth. And we could easily see that situation here with the path we're currently on. Take away some of these great Northwest employers, some of the great innovators we have. The Jeff Bezos departure certainly didn't help our capital gains income. Ken Fisher personally took himself and a lot of his company to Texas. Huge.
Yep.
Clean, high-income company. And this is just the tip of the iceberg, I fear.
And that's unfortunate, because when we get to a point that the high-profit businesses, the revenue generators begin to leave, then you get an imbalanced tax structure. Mm-hmm. And when you get the imbalanced tax structure, oh boy, then we got a real problem.
Well, we certainly do. And, you know, we look at what manufacturing jobs pay versus service sector jobs. And those manufacturing jobs, whether it's traditional assembly line like Boeing or whether it's in technology, those manufacturing jobs are paying a lot more.
We're talking with State Senator Mark Schessler from the 9th here on The Bottom Line.
I'm sure that this, Senator, this subject has come up, but what's the general reaction you get from the majority party if someone goes to them and says, look, we've lost Fisher Investments, we lost this, we lost that. Do you realize if these continue, this domino is going to continue? And, you know, like Rob said, the imbalance, you're not going to be able to raise the taxes because the middle class isn't going to be able to shoulder the burden. Has somebody gone to them and said, look, are you trying to force these businesses out? And then if so, what is their reaction to that?
They really feel like Seattle. They'll just keep finding new sources of revenue from the same old, same old. I mean, think about it. In Seattle, Microsoft is basically pulled out. Amazon's pulling out. Bellevue is doing quite well, thank you. Not because of the great state environment, but because it's not as bad as Seattle.
Hmm. Yeah, because sooner or later, it seems like, you know, we're going to run out. I mean, and you read in some of the publications that track these kind of things where, you know, there is still a lot of especially digital innovation going on in King and Snohomish counties. But sooner or later, the teeter-totter is going to shift the scales and, you know, eventually the light bulb is going to have to come on for them and realize we're losing more than we're gaining.
Well, we would hope so, but you know, I think a lot of it is the technology sector doesn't have the requirements of manufacturing. They can go anywhere. I mean, we built an aluminum industry on affordable power. Boeing was here with affordable power. Technology doesn't need that. They can locate just about anywhere, and they may very well make that choice.
So what else do we have to look forward to, Senator Schessler? We know right now rent control is the big topic. We know the budgets still have yet to be reconciled. But when we talked about the property tax, anything else that's on the horizon we need to be aware about that has not yet been concluded?
Well, I think for the people I represent and know in your listening area, I think 1163, the gun control bill,
yep,
is certainly the most onerous of my career. Totally unworkable for even if you like it. How many criminal justice training commission certified instructors are there with ranges that could put people through a training program and live fire training before they can simply buy a .22 for plunking or a new shotgun for waterfowl hunting this coming year? It is the most onerous thing I've ever seen. It was even determined to be unconstitutional when enacted in Hawaii. But, of course, it's moving ahead here. This is one where there are so many bad things in it, it's simply unfixable. And just imagine if you have to get your background check, okay, then find a training program that doesn't exist with a live fire range for training simply because you want to trade up for a different shotgun this fall. If you decide you want to buy a new 22 to enjoy a little target shooting with your kids or grandkids, get in line and wait and pay a lot. And think about the lower income folks in our area. A $75 fee to the state patrol for the privilege to take a training course, which costs you for the privilege of buying a firearm, whether it's personal defense, plunking with the grandkids, or waterfowl hunting this fall.
You know, Senator,
hardworking middle class. Yeah, it's that same middle class person we've talked about.
But I'm sure our listeners will be really happy to know that there have been bills proposed that would make it harder for criminals to get guns, right?
They've been proposed. They just haven't had a hearing yet.
Oh, that's right. That's right. So we'll make it harder on regular people, but we won't do anything about the criminals. Oh, I do not envy you, sir. I do not envy you.
Well, gentlemen, I should probably return to the floor and take a few votes to represent my people now. So,
all right. Thanks for your time.
Thank all of your listeners.
You got it. Senator Mark Chesler joining us.